Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back at Cowboys Monday in the G-Bag Nation for the first time in like 56 years, something like that. We're reacting to a tie game. And for more on football, here's Wolchuk with your daily football fix.
Yeah, it's crazy. Shout out to Bob Thomas. He actually had the nugget of the last Cowboys tie, and it was 1969 on Thanksgiving Day. Dang. Against the San Francisco 49ers. They tied 24-all. Brian is a six-year-old lad. Remember that game.
My Uncle Charlie played that game.
Very well. Really?
Yeah. Charlie Kruger. He was a all-pro defensive tackle.
What a badass.
Yeah.
Seventh tie ever in the history of the Cowboys franchise.
Can I say something real quick? How many games was that since? Did they say that? Like, Bob Thomas, like...
Oh, gosh. I mean, I can't.
No, it's like...
They did tell us. I can't remember what the number
was. It's like 860-something games since the last time they tied. Bob Thomas last night saw his 800th game.
It's crazy. Shout out to Bob.
Yeah, or worked his 800th game. I think Bob might be listening. Text me, Bob, if you are. Congratulations on that. But, yeah, like, Bob, they gave him a little award for...
As they should. Yeah. He's fantastic. And in the 60s, I guess they were tying quite a bit. They tied the Giants in 1960.
That's all you ever did.
Washington in 61 and 62. The Giants again in 64. The St. Louis Cardinals in 66. Then the Niners in 69. Nice.
They didn't have any overtime then? Is that what's going on?
No, we didn't have any overtime then. But only no the ties. Playoffs. Playoffs.
Never since then until 2025.
Yeah, we were kind of okay with the tie back then.
I don't like the current format. I think capping it at 10 minutes is weird. I think it should just be a possession each.
Oh, okay.
Possession each with an actual kickoff.
Yeah, I'd love to find a way to get rid of the ties. I understand why they don't want to.
I don't know what you guys think, but I am a big fan of what they do in college football.
I would have no issue with the college overtime.
That would work,
rules.
Too.
And, you know, you get to a point, too, that's, what's it, the second overtime or after the second one?
You got to go for two.
Got to go for two.
Yeah, I like
why
it.
Why not? Let's do it. Let's go.
It is more exciting.
Derek Eagleton had an interesting one. He said, just start kicking field goals at the 40.
Yeah.
And alternate until somebody misses.
Oh, just like, do a kickoff?
No, field goals.
Yeah.
It's like penalty kicks.
Yeah,
it's
not like your penalty. Exactly.
Yeah, you're
right. I'm calling it like a kickoff.
Yeah, you know, okay,
like,
I got you.
Oh, like the kicker just go off. They battle back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys have the edge there.
I mean, you don't want to have these guys out there getting hurt in overtime. They're exhausted. They played football for 3 hours. Let's just settle it with Aubrey and whoever else happens to be on the other team.
It's like a race or something. Our fastest versus yours. Our three best eaters.
I like
versus
that, too.
Best eaters.
Votch said they ought to call out like Garrett used to call one-on-one. Remember when we were training camp, he'd call it one-on-one?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you like we take Micah Parsons verse. And you have like a one-on-one pass for
Nate
drill.
Thomas out there. He'll be pretty good. Man, we had a coaching altercation after the game yesterday. San Francisco and Jacksonville.
Oh, my man in Jacksonville kind of pisses everybody off.
Liam Cohen has that face about him.
Yeah.
Duval. He'll do that to you.
Did he go after the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, so Bob Sala accused them of sign stealing. And I guess Liam Cohen did not like that, and he went up to him and said after the game, after Jacksonville won. Now, I don't think Liam Cohen does this if they lose this game, but he's feeling good about himself. They get a 26-21 win, and he goes over, and he's got bodies in between him, so he knows that there won't actually be a physical confrontation. He knows that he's got some buffer zone here, and he's chirping. He's chirping at Sala. He's like, keep my name out your mouth. Keep my name out your mouth.
Well, and Sala came up to him and it looked like he was trying to shake his hand, and Cohen just shakes his head and walks past him. And then once he gets a good, healthy 10, 15 feet away, then he decides to turn back around and start chirping.
So Sala just says to him, quote, I'll bleep your world up. Ooh. You don't want to bleep with me. I'll bleep and end your bleeping life.
Oh, he said wow. that? Bob Sella said that?
Yeah, Bob Sella said that.
I mean, dude, he's absolutely, he's roided up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be real about that. So he's playing with confidence and a little bit of additional rage, and he knows that he would squish Liam Cohen.
Oh,
like, Liam Cohen's like towards the bottom of the list of coaches you would want on your team in a battle royale fight to the death. Yeah. Whereas Bob Sala, up there towards the top.
I love the fact that Rick calls him Bob Sala.
I mean, it might just be everybody in Jacksonville. That GM I'm not taking against anybody either. Looks like a little Smurf guy.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like he's about 18 years old.
He's the human embodiment of football analytics.
Absolutely.
You think he'd have gone for it on 4th and 4?
He would have gone for it on 4th and 40.
Since it said 2, he absolutely would have called down and said, Liam, we're going for it.
Yeah.
Liam would have said, you got it, coach. Injuries, big time injuries. Malik Nabers torn ACL, done for the season. It's a big one for the Giants.
Yeah, that sucks, dude.
It really does.
Just when they get Jackson Dart, like, got him going here. Yeah, that's a big win, man.
Huge win.
The Chargers.
Huge. Come on, when Chargers were coming in, we're thinking, oh my gosh, are they finally putting it together? But the Chargers, also big loss.
That's what
Joe Alt goes down.
No, Joe, what happened there? What was they say?
Ankle. Got carted off. It's an ankle. So, yes, he avoided. Right now, it does not look like it's going to be a season. Wow. It was feared, but now could just be a few weeks. That's huge for them. But
what a badass, too. He's got a high ankle sprain. He's trying to jog off the field.
Yeah, he is.
It doesn't hurt.
Dude, he is a badass. But the notable ACL and Achilles tears at MetLife Stadium. I mean, Yahoo Sports and others have put out the list. But, I mean, you go down since 2020. It's big-name players, including the Cowboys' own Solomon Thomas, Nick Bosa, Rodgers, Nabers, Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, Jabril Peppers. Mm. So, Odell Beckham Jr., former Giant, took to social media, said, Dear NFL, I mean this with the utmost love and respect. We, the NFL, take all the precautions in the world with everything else when it comes to players' health and safety. Please, 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 please get rid of the turf. Thank you in advance. Love, OBJ.
Yeah, the problem with get rid of the turf there at MetLife, you got two teams playing on it.
Getting the grass, the grass just get too beaten up.
I don't know, man. At one time, the old Giants Stadium did have grass.
Did it?
It did. It did. It had grass, and it was a mess.
Didn't work.
There's different kinds of turf. I think I'd be willing to change it out. You know, it's not that much money in the grand scheme of things. But remember when we were at the Super Bowl and we talked to the guy that has the cleats that pivot just a little bit?
Yeah.
Todd Heap, right?
Was it Todd Heap?
It was Todd Heap. You're right. Good call.
I mean, that's what I'd go with if I'm going to MetLife, if I'm the players. I mean, I'll put a Nike swoosh over it, whatever I got to do, but That's pretty alarming since 2020, that number of players. I loved OBJ's additional tweet that he added. He says, respect, and you know I love the Giants, but Death Life has taken too many talented players away from the game. That's the new name of MetLife
Death
Stadium.
Life.
Death Life Stadium. It's a bit of an oxymoron.
They're going to have to put the grass in for the World Cup, but I guess that's just a couple of matches. And they'll get
it's
it
just so different with soccer Death because life. You're all over the field. In football, you're spending most of the time between the hashes, which are narrower in the NFL, and you get chewed up pretty quick, especially if you're in a northern climate that gets some weather, some rain, and some snow. But it's doable, you know. I think I would at least look at turning it over or looking into all the different kinds of turf. And if I'm in the NFLPA, I'm like, man, do we need to pass the hat and offer to pay this for you?
Now, another big injury, Ravens.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar's dealing with a hammy. We don't know how serious this is going to be. I was listening to Shefty earlier today, and he said, like, if the game had been closer, maybe Lamar would have gone back in. But since it was pretty much, we know the result here, they weren't going to push that. Hopefully it's not long, but they did lose their star defensive tackle, Justin Medebike, for the season.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be out. And Raven fans, I'm sorry.
They've been bad on defense, though, right?
So bad. And they started off really bad last year on defense. Mm. And then they got that kind of fixed. But this is my fault. I went ahead and I picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. And I just think that I screwed their fan base over.
It's happening to you? You on a run?
Yeah, it's just last year I went with Cincinnati. So if I pick you, if I pick you to win the Super Bowl, just know hell's in store.
Probably under 500.
I should have picked the Packers.
They get the Texans, then the Rams, and the Bears here over the next 3 weeks, depending on how rough Lamar Jackson's hammy is. But I think Roquan Smith sprained his ankle, too.
Yeah,
I think it gets worse. Like, they're missing like 8 dudes on defense.
They lost a handful of players in that game, and it was bad. I mean, Kansas City was able to get explosive all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was the first time, I think, 2 years, Patrick Mahomes threw for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He got it going. And Xavier Worthy being back helped. This is probably the soundbite of the weekend in terms of quarterbacking. Cam Ward, they're 0-4. They just got shut out by Houston. who, in a weird move, traded Cam Robinson, their offensive tackle, today. Their offensive line stinks, and they just traded one of their tackles to the Browns. But whatever, maybe Houston's team tanking it, even though they're 1-3. Here was Cam Ward in regards to how they're playing.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games, and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line, from the defensive line, from the special teams to all three faces. We have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
We ask.
I appreciate his honesty.
I loved it. I mean, I think
that's a sign of a leader
right
there.
That could be a tone setter, yeah. Right? I mean, I think that running game Moses, kiddo,
yeah,
probably not long for that job.
Running game Moses.
Mm. So that's probably going to be an open job if anybody wants that Tennessee Titans game.
I saw people advocating for Mike McCarthy, who says he's getting ready to coach in 2026. Maybe take one last young QB under his wing.
Quarterback guru.
Develop him. I'd be terrified of that if I was the Titans. But I think a lot of owners would see that as a good, wise decision.
Wins games, 100%. Last thing here, Eagles did lose a player for the season. Ogbo Okoronkwo. Triceps tear, season, Dunsky. And bleep filthy, man. I don't know. They just find ways to win. They're so damn annoying. I hope things eventually...
They had 0 yards passing in the second half of that game.
If you just box score it, Tampa Bay should have kicked their ass. But somehow, some way, they've now won 20 out of 21. Screw you.
It's amazing how that first half, I mean, Jalen Hurts was dialed. Bowles was trying to send the blitz at him left and right. It was like,
AJ
we're
Brown
good.
Is now
AJ Brown is
behind the scenes ticked off.
Very frustrated.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk. Well, let's cut out of here just a little bit early because I think Shoddy's going to start yapping up there at the Star. We'll get the Brian Schottenheimer press conference here on a Cowboys Monday as they tie 40-40. Wow, what a night. And we'll have more overreactions in addition to the finest and more coming up next year on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here comes Shoddy in just a couple of minutes. We get the Cowboys press conference here on The Fan coming off a 40-40 tie. It's a Cowboys Monday, and I'll take it, man. Being a 6.5, 7-point dog against Green Bay, the way that game started, the way it could have gone to get the tie, you know, maybe at the end of the season, that's the difference in making the playoffs and not. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Flagtober 2025 is going to start Saturday at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. We want to see you there. Brian's going to be out there.
I'll be there. Thank you very much for saying that, Dawson. Appreciate that.
Yeah, go say hi to Broadus. And then, the Red River Party, Texas OU, next weekend is going to be quite a scene. Our very own Lucius Alexander is going to be there, and we're all invited to join and party up for that. That'll be next Saturday here. Brian Schottenheimer press conference in just a second. What would you guys think about the decision to kick the field goal there at the end of the game?
Go
for it, clearly.
I'm going. Yeah.
And I felt like you've really come around on this one because 4 yards is a long way to go. Like and one, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But I think on 4th and 4, you got to pass.
Oh, no.
Like you're not running it on 4th down.
No,
are you?
You're passing the ball. But like I said, you've got guys like Tolbert seems to be pretty good down there. You know, Pickens could go play. I don't know if I want to throw a jump ball there. We had Ferguson open on a route. You know, I mean, I had absolutely no faith that if you look at the possessions after the first half of that football game. Touchdown, 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 field goal, you know?
Yeah.
You have any faith in your Listen, you know, I mean, if you score there, now you're making them have to score a touchdown just to – now maybe they could go for two themselves and, you know, and try and you know, win the game that way. But kicking a field goal right there to me was like, especially with McManus, the kicker, who can make a 57-yard field goal, I was like, well, I could say my expectations, I picked that team to win. Green Bay's a better team.
Yeah.
Green Bay's a much better team right now. And so good for Dallas, but I thought he was going to have to play the game differently, the way some of the decisions and stuff that he was going to make. And I would have had no problem if he would have stood at the podium if they lost that game by a field goal. And he would have said, well, like, well, why'd you go for it there? Did you see what they did to us in the second half?
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, would I have had a problem if they don't convert and they essentially lose the game? And the answer is no.
Yeah, if you get a couple of stops like you did in the first half, maybe you do. Maybe you kick the field goal there. But to me, I had absolutely no faith that they were going to get a stop. And they were probably going to get in field goal range anyway.
I don't know if you, Chief, you got some on that?
Well, I was just thinking, like, yes, the numbers indicate you should go, right? The
78%, something like that.
But even the people that are anti whatever the analytics say, they're all about, like, know your team, right? Gut feel about your team. Your team was not stopping them.
Yeah.
Your offense is what
got you there. That's the most important thing. That's the thing I always talk about. Right? Know the condition of your team.
So that's the condition of your team and the numbers. It was like a two-way go. Everything about that scenario was you got to go for it here. Yeah.
Could it also be know your team, like, we probably won't convert this and we're going to give them the ball in a tie game?
Better chance to convert it or better chance to stop Green Bay's offense?
They really haven't stopped you that second half.
Better chance to convert.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
With the way the offense had been playing. And
like in the back of his mind, was he thinking, I'd live this 2 weeks ago. We kind of felt, I felt the same way in that Giants game. I was like, they just lost the game here when they punted. And then they got an interception because they hadn't been able to stop the Giants. So I just wonder if he was going back to that and thinking, hey, I trusted my defense then. They came through. Can I trust them this time? Will they come through? And unfortunately, they did.
Well, Jordan Love was in the midst of breaking a record for most completions without an incompletion of balls thrown 10 yards or less. Did you hear that earlier with KNC Masterpiece? He was 28 of 28. The previous record was 22 of 22.
Damn.
And, you know, Brian brought his Krusty's corner about 45 minutes or so ago, detailed some of the other plays where, you know, the defense is having pretty significant communication breakdowns or having issues knowing what the responsibilities are. And I just don't know how that doesn't reflect on Eberflus. I think Wolchuk did a great job last night in the post game, and the rant went viral of how many missed tackles did Eberflus have? And the answer is none. But, you know, you brought some of these guys in. The trade for Sanborn, or the signing of Sanborn, the trade for Kenneth Murray, like, that was done after Eberflus was brought in. You're tasked with teaching them. Like, you should at least know what your position is and what your responsibility are. Like, how many different coverages really are there? Four? Maybe five if you count cover five? Yeah. And then there's the different things off of that. But how many things do you really have to know? Like 15? I'm asking a serious question. As a defensive player in the secondary, you got to know about 15 things, right?
Yeah,
that's
Yeah, which I the communication stuff is super bizarre to me. I don't know why they're having such an issue with that. The Sanborn thing, and I mentioned that last night, like, that's totally on Flus. I don't know. Like, Kenneth Murray might have been a player the Cowboys liked. I don't know if he was the one that was, like, campaigning, I really want Kenneth Murray or not. But I was so wrong about these linebackers, and a big reason why I thought the linebackers would be better is that is kind of Flus's expertise. So that's one thing. If you want to critique him on, I'm totally cool with it. My thing is, I think we have a knee-jerk reaction here where we just, it's not going right. It's the coordinator's fault. Fire the coordinator. And the pushback that I've gotten is like, well, why were some of these players so good under Dan Quinn? How many of those players were here under Dan Quinn? They've overhauled this defense completely. Osa Digizua, Deron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, who have since had major knee injuries or a foot injury. They're not playing the same as they were. And let's not forget, it was fire Dan Quinn after the Green Bay game. So to me, while I think absolutely 4th and 6, you want to question, they play zone, they don't pressure certain situations, I think Eberflus absolutely deserves some criticism. But I think we're a little too quick to say this is all on the coach. Last year was the same thing with Zim. Zim got it corrected. Maybe give Flus a little bit of time and he can get this fixed. I don't really think that he will because I think it's a player problem. I don't think they have enough talent on that side of the ball. And I think it goes back to what we talked about last week is they've missed on their draft picks on that side of the ball the last 3 or 4 years.
No, I think your dead ball is on with that one. I would say you are dead last. And both Zim and Quinn did significantly more with at least similar type of players. But I think fundamentally it breaks down when not many of your guys are good run defenders and you have to commit extra resources. And now we're really having a problem in the secondary with understanding yeah. routes are getting passed off. Or, hey, I'm the linebacker that's actually going to run the seam on this one. Like the fact that Stewart and Murray did not have that sorted out as the ball is being hiked. You know, that's just weird. So I don't think this should be the 32nd ranked defense in football. But, yeah. you know, maybe I'm overestimating them. And Jerry has said coyly a couple of times, this thing is going to be good long term. Maybe this is part of the process of figuring, hey, we don't really have a great chance of contending this year. We'll put on a show offensively. But when we get to use those first round picks and get our coaching staff an entire year under their belt to go out into the free agent market now, right now we're scheduled to have a ton of money available. Let's go attack this when free agency has started and we have a pick of all the players around the league that are not under contract and start instead of trying to fix it all now. Maybe it's a year of transition and development. Micah Parsons adding some context last night in the post game. The same way he called me in the office as a man, he couldn't tell me as a man. He said it's not necessarily about emotion. It's about respect. Is this going to be like Jerry Jones' rival of record? You think this is going to go on for a while? I think so. And I think feelings definitely got involved. You know, maybe Jerry Jones doesn't want to admit that, but every time he answers a question about it, he's throwing a significant amount of shade at Micah Parsons. And I guess I would feel significantly disrespected right now if I was him.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why both sides feel a little bit disrespected. Jerry's just doing the thing where he's like, no, things didn't get personal, anything like that. But like Micah's comparing Kenny Clark receiving the call. Well, of course, Kenny Clark's going to receive the call. He was blindsided.
Yeah.
He was like one of the stand-up leaders on that team and in that locker room for many years. He wasn't in a contentious battle. Of course, the GM's going to pick up the phone and call him.
Yeah.
Because he had no idea what was coming.
I think Dez Bryant had this moment as well around year five or year six where Jerry has said all these things to you, and then you maybe you kind of feel hustled. You feel, what's Lucius call it, glamored. The guy winks at you and smiles, and you're sitting here talking with the most powerful man in football, like your buddies, and you're going over all these life things. But I think the players kind of feel like they're getting worked when they reflect back upon it, and I think they're right, you know. And I would encourage all new players coming in here to talk to people like Dez Bryant and Micah Parsons about their experience. Like CeeDee Lamb said it during camp, I wouldn't advise going this route with Jerry Jones. Trying to get in there and talk to him yourself is not advisable. What's your gut feeling right now on the Jets? They'll be in Miami tonight. It's a battle of 0-3 teams. The Cowboys, the early favorite, 1.5 at New York Sunday afternoon. What do you think?
Not a good feeling. They have not done well in New York against the Jets for whatever reason. You remember the Sam Darnold game?
That's when Amari Cooper got hurt 5 plays in, right?
Yeah.
The thigh injury.
Sam Darnold's like, we knew what they were going to do.
I think it was like Robbie Chosen Anderson had like a 98-yard touchdown in that game. Just running by Jeff Heath.
I mean, I'd be worried about Justin Fields, who's now healthy. We'll see how he plays tonight, but him being able to just run around.
Yeah.
I guess last year they did okay against Fields. But yes, exactly. I mean, 100% that would be a concern. I'm a little nervous. If they play offensively like they have, I think they'll be okay and they'll win. But there is something about going to play against the Jets that has been an issue.
Is there any way CeeDee Lamb is back?
I don't think so. He was in a boot during the game last night.
Oh, the good news is Tyler Booker, Nick Harris tweeted, is not wearing his boot anymore.
Yeah.
He's out of the boot. Maybe okay. Book saw what TJ Bass did and said, I need to get the hell back out there.
I mean, the Jets have a pretty good defense when you're talking about, is it Will McDonald?
McDonald,
Will Anderson?
Yeah.
Something like that. Let's go up to the press conference. Shoddy standing by, brought to you by Ford, the official vehicle of your Dallas Cowboys.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. We're a month into this season. Just what do you think you are right now? What do you think you stand, despite the record?
They were a growing football team, a team that's learning a lot about themselves and improving in some areas and focusing on areas that we need to get better, which there's a lot of those. But I think it's an exciting time for us because I do think that there's areas that we can make large improvements. We're having to play some younger players for injuries, but we're also playing younger players because we want to. You know, whether you talk about what we did with Nate Thomas yesterday, you know, rolling him some in at right tackle, and, you know, Shamar James getting some work. I mean, you have to play these young guys because you're going to need them at some point. So there's things we're excited about, but the focus is now, yeah, you move on to, you know, the Jets, another opponent, another championship opportunity coming in here.
Are you surprised that we're still talking about the struggles of the defense, particularly in the secondary?
No.
Well, you have veterans there.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's a way to stop having those conversations, and that's to play better. We're capable of playing better. We need to play better. I thought our first down run efficiency and overall efficiency on first down was, I think, the best we've had, like 65% win on first down. Where we struggled was third down again. And we need to do a better job of self-scouting ourselves and what are we struggling with and what formations are giving us problems and why. We need to practice third down better, you know. You know, and then obviously in the red zone, you know, last couple of weeks we haven't done a great job of keeping them out of the end zone. And so for us defensively, it's, you know, the explosive plays have been a problem. And then, you know, getting the people off the field on third down and making them kick field goals. That sounds like a lot. We can't fix all of that today. We can't go and put in a magic defense that's going to fix those things. We have to fix it through execution and team defense and communication and better coaching. And that's what we're working for.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. Just a housekeeping note to start off. Any of the guys have a chance to come off IR? You start their window. Who are those guys?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about that. You know, probably in through tonight and into tomorrow. I think there's a chance that there's a couple guys. I won't share with you who, but those conversations are a little bit early for us. You know, we're just kind of finished up the game, and now that we start getting ready for prepping the Jets, we'll have a better idea. But there's a chance that you could see a little bit of movement.
Secondly, in overtime, that you on fourth down, did you even think about going for, considering how the defense that played to that point, and try to put a touchdown up?
No, you know, I mean, we had our shots down there. You know, I didn't really like my third down play call. I thought there's a better call I could have gone with. That's me being accountable to the team and myself. And but no, I think you got, at that point, you know, you're in overtime. You got to give yourself a chance. You get the lead, and we're going to always trust our team. You know, we're going to trust the team. And unfortunately, we weren't able to win the game, and we came away with a tie, and it doesn't sit well with any of us. But no, I didn't second guess that thought.
Brian, Todd Archer with ESPN. Through a month here, you guys have the highest rated offense and yards and things like that. But when you look at complementary football, is your third down offense something that you needs to get better? Maybe in an early in games, you only scored 10 points in the first quarter. Like, that's a way that you can help your defense in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, I think so. We never look at, hey, we want to be the first, you know, best offense in the NFL. We want to lead the league in wins. You know, that's what we want to do as a football team. And we don't really get caught up in the rankings per se, either good or bad, because it doesn't really matter. You got to find a way to win. But I would say, you know, we did some complimentary things yesterday. I thought we finally won the turnover battle, Todd. I thought that was good. The James Houston sack was a huge play, and then we were able to go out in sudden change. But, you know, yeah, we can be better on third down for sure. And part of it is, you know, being able to live in more third downs and manageable and things like that. We're certainly talented enough to do that. And then in terms of, you know, time of possession, it certainly helps as well. But I will say again, you know, we came out yesterday and, you know, the plan all along was if we get to third manageable in the first drive, I was planning on running it the whole time. Very good front, you know, saw some things that we thought we could take advantage of from them. You know, they're pretty aggressive blitzing defense, and you know, they kind of had us out leveraged. So their call was better than our call on the first third down. But, again, it's a 60-minute game. I'm the first one to always preach it to our guys. You can't win the game in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. You're going to win it in the fourth quarter. And, So we'll look at it, but the third downs would probably be the biggest thing I would say that we just need to make sure we're on top of.
And then another overtime game. Do you have the same – how do you take care of guys' bodies? Do you think you'll do the same Wednesday?
There'll be, you know, some things that we tweak. You know, I got to see all the numbers still. I haven't seen all the numbers from the – the catapult and all that stuff. We'll adjust something, but I plan on practicing. We'll just see what it looks like.
And then with Pickens, when you made the trade, did you reach out to people before that had been around this guy to say, what is he like? Tell me about him. Did you do any of that?
Oh, yeah.
And what were you told about?
Different things. How much he loved football and, you know, he loves to play the game, and you know, you might have to deal with him being late occasionally, and some things like that. Which sometimes we all oversleep. I could have slept a few more minutes this morning, but I didn't. But for the most part, it was all positive. You know, and the people that we spoke to in and around the league, and in Pittsburgh and in Georgia, they were very honest. And I think that's the cool thing about this league is people are honest, and you have to be careful whether it's good or bad information. You do your homework, and then that's part of the process. That's not the only process. And from the minute I sat down with George Pickens in my office and we shot some hoops, it was very clear to me that this guy was fired up to be a Dallas Cowboy and excited to help us go win games.
Has he been late?
No comment.
Jeff Schoedt with The Athletic. You talked about simplifying things on the defense in previous weeks. Is there any more simplifying left to do, or is it as simplified as it can be?
No, there's definitely some simplifying we can do. When you look at it, it's a good question, a fair question. You know, we didn't tackle very well yesterday. Like, that's one of the things that happened to us. Yeah, we just didn't tackle well yesterday. And I talked to the guys about it. You know, we've got a thing called cup tackling where you've got an outside piece, you've got an inside piece, and then you've got a guy, you know, coming down from the top. And so it creates a cup, if you will. And we lost our cup at times. They had a very specific plan. They wanted to attack us in space. And so they were throwing the bubbles and the perimeter screens and things like that. And our cups weren't very good. And then we're still tackling a little bit high. And again, I know you asked me about simplifying. The other area that jumps up from, you know, simplification part is teams are attacking us on third down with quick cadences. If you go back, we force a 3rd and 9 or 10, I think, on the very first drive, the very first third down of the game, I think it was 3rd and 9, and they kind of quick counted us, John, and we weren't ready. And talked to the guys about that today. The best type of defense is a ready defense, and that starts with us getting the call in from Flus, getting the call communicated, and then getting our cleats in the dirt and getting ready to play. And it started with Chicago. They did it to us some. And so people are going to challenge us with that. So you implement that a little bit more in practice, and you do a better job of preparing those guys. And the number one way to fix the third down issues on defense is to emphasize it and do it more in practice, which we will.
And then the flip side of that on defense, if someone was like, okay, so what is a positive that you feel like on the defense that you guys can build off of, what would that be?
Run defense. I mean, our two D tackles, Osa and Kenny, played their two best games yesterday. I thought those guys were excellent. I think our run defense is good. I've talked all week ad nauseum about, you know, Josh Jacobs and what a great back he is and the power and size that he has. But, we did some really good things on first down. And, Donovan Ezeraku, man, he just continues to excel, and he played really, really well. And, you know, in between the tackles, Jack Sanborn's been really good for us. But, if we can make people one-dimensional, it gives you a chance. And so the answer to that question would be I feel very good about our run defense.
Hey, Harris, Forward Star Telegram. How are things looking for Malik Hooker and Tyler Guyton?
I think, you know, Guyton's in the protocol. I think we feel, like he's got a chance to play this week. Hook's got something we think a little bit more serious. Could be a couple weeks, finishing up a few more tests, but he might miss a little bit of time.
On that note, what have you guys liked about Wendell Thomas throughout your time here and then to be in that role yesterday? How do you think he performed?
Well, again, yeah, one of the biggest plays of the day was the block, on the extra point. Huge, game-changing, momentum-changing play. I love his professionalism. I love his work ethic. I love his grit. Smart. He is a good communicator. I think that's important. You know, we're looking to improve the communication, and I think he does a really good job with that. He's actually gotten a lot of reps in practice because, you know, we're smart with what we've done with Malik and Dono from a practice standpoint. So he'll definitely be ready to go. And, again, I thought he did a nice job for us yesterday getting called upon.
And from your perspective, how has this offensive line been able to stay so consistent despite a couple starters being out? You had to deal with the issue with Guyton and Steele during the game, yet you were still able to find running lanes and keep Dak mostly clean.
Yeah. Number one, the brotherhood, that unit in most organizations is super tight. These guys are incredibly tight. Every Thursday night there's a dinner with the offensive line and the quarterbacks, and they spend a lot of time together. But I don't think it, you know, it doesn't happen without a belief in what you're doing from a scheme standpoint, a belief in what you have with a coach like Connor Riley and Clayton Adams and guys like that. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to think about the team we just played and their ability to rush the passer that we were able to do that. The protection plan was good. It was sound. And a guy that probably doesn't get talked enough about that did a hell of a job yesterday, and you guys can pull up the clips, was Javonte Williams. You know, he was cleaning edges for us a lot, and, you know, there's times where you want to keep him in, and those things don't go in the stat book. But I thought he was incredible at that yesterday.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. When you guys brought in James Houston on the first practice at camp, did you think that he would be having this much of an impact for you?
Actually, I did, Tommy. I really did. I mean, because we had a hard time blocking him. You know, we really did. Like, I mean, I remember in training camp, him went in on a rush on one of the early third down. It might have been a two-minute period. But it just goes to show you, you know, there's great football players out there everywhere. And what I love about James is, you know, here he is going out and creating, you know, havoc for the quarterbacks and making a you know, strip sack fumble, recovering himself. But he's also running down on kickoffs last week, making the opening kickoff, and did the same thing yesterday in terms of making plays. And he's getting better against the run, you know, and that's not necessarily his strongest suit, but he's working on those weaknesses. And anybody that's willing to work on their weaknesses, to me, is someone that you're excited to have on your team.
With CD and Tyler Booker, have you guys learned anything more on them and if IR is a possibility?
Yeah, they're both trending in the right direction. You know, we're not going to make any decisions right now. I think we'd rather not. You know, I think Book's out of the boot, which is great. And I think both guys are getting better. And we'll see what the time frame looks like. But I don't think we plan on doing anything, certainly right at the moment. But we reserve the right to change our mind.
Scholar.
Ben Snyder, Dixon with BAP. You mentioned earlier coaching a little bit more on third down defense. And I think you kind of – or practicing a little more. And you may have kind of answered it with talking about the quick snap you a few times. But how do you feel like you kind of – practice third down defense better, and how do you balance that versus maybe kind of psyching guys out about it and putting too much emphasis on it?
It's a fair question. I don't think you psych guys up. I mean, these guys are professionals, and whatever we emphasize, Skyler, I mean, they're usually great about it. They get it. I mean, they don't sit around and read the stats, but they know. I mean, you can't look at our stats and not know that we're struggling on third down. You know, you put a little bit more emphasis on it earlier in the week, which adds – 4, 5, 6 more reps maybe on Wednesday, a little bit more, and then you start throwing in more Thursday, and you probably got to give up something on first, second down to steal some more reps on third down. You got to steal some from red zone, you know, and you got to be smart. But that's where the balance of a well-constructed practice schedule and the emphasis in front of the room. And, again, like, you know, I said to the guys today, like, you know, it could be this week, it might be next week, where we win a game 10-3. And our defense has 4 takeaways, and I mean, that's the ebb and flow of our league, and that's the way things happen. So this is a football team. It's the greatest team sport in the world, and it's the most difficult team sport in the world because of how difficult it is. But we will emphasize third down. Why? Because we're not good enough. It's not the standard, and therefore you're crazy if you don't.
Joe.
Joe Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Dak talked a lot about the timing yesterday with his receivers, and that was one way to kind of counteract a pass rush that can get after the quarterback quick. What is just the behind-the-scenes kind of group effort to decipher, hey, what is our timing going to be on this play, this play, this play, and how impressive is it, I guess, to keep everyone in sync in that regard?
Well, we talk about a couple different things. You know, we talk about the time clock of the quarterback and the rhythm of the pass. We talk about launch points, which is where the quarterback throws from. You never want the quarterback just to be sitting in the well, you know, at 7.5 or 8.5 yards deep, you know, right behind the center. So we try to change those up a lot. I do think that there's a lot that goes into the fact of, you know, Dak and I's relationship and, you know, understanding. We call it the play caller's purpose, which means when we call certain plays, there's a design of what I'm looking for as the play caller, because there's nothing worse as a play caller when you've got first and 10 and you call a pass that should make you, let's say, 5 or 6 yards. And you're like, you see the look, and you're like, okay, boom, I should be 2nd and 4. And then you're like, oh, man, 2nd and 10, because the ball goes someplace else. But I think, you know, he's seeing it really well right now, and he's playing with confidence, and he's, you know, just, like I said, playing firm on his back foot. And if you have a firm back foot, you're normally going to be getting the ball out on time and in rhythm, and that gives guys a chance to run after the catch.
And MetLife is obviously, you know, the turf discussion comes at every time you guys have to go to MetLife or anyone does. Do you have an opinion on that? And do you talk about the turf when you talk to your players this week?
No. I was there for the MetLife's first game. You know, I was the coordinator. I remember we beat Cincinnati in 2009. That was the last game ever played, I guess, in the old one. And then I was there for the first one. But, no, those are things, I mean, you know, that yeah, we spend more time talking about the opponent.
Saad, this is The Athletic. Brian, as a former quarterback and you've been around the league so much, building off of what you were just talking about, what are the signs you see when a quarterback is just feeling it, dialed in, whatever the case may be, and the way Dak is right now?
Well, I appreciate you putting me in the same category as Dak and some of the elite quarterbacks. Saad, I mean, you know, it's something. I did throw the first touchdown pass of the 1996 National Championship season. Go Gators. You know, I think the biggest thing is the trust that he has in all of our players, all of the skill guys. You know, like we talked a little bit last night, you know, about Ryan Flournoy and Jalen Tolbert with a big, you know, huge conversion for us in the 2-minute drive on a shallow cross and the scramble play and the catch by Tolbert, which – again, I knew it was incredible. I did not know how incredible it was. There we go. Is that you, Brad?
No.
No, yeah. No, it's okay. It's all good. But, I mean, that catch was incredible. But I do think that. I think it's just the trust that he has in throwing the ball to wherever the read takes him and trusting that those guys are going to be in the right spot. And that sounds simple to the world, but it's not. I mean, you know, you're talking about an elite pass rush group that was all around him. And I mean, the throw he makes to George Pickens on fourth down is an incredible throw. It's low and away. He's got to move up because they're coming off the edge. And, you know, that doesn't happen without lots of practice.
And then you've had 2 overtime games now. You lost the coin toss in both overtime periods. The way that this new overtime is, has the results of these 2 overtimes informed you even better for when you do win a coin toss, how you might go with it?
Yeah, I think we have a plan. I mean, you know, I'll share with you guys, if we would have won the coin toss, you know, you're not supposed to say defer, so you have to say kick in overtime, because you want to know, what do you need? You know, because, you know, you know if they go down and they get a field goal, then you're going to probably be aggressive and maybe go forward on fourth down and things like that. And so I think that's kind of the new realm that we all go with. But what you guys have seen really in both of our overtime games is the 10 minutes, it does go fast. And the next thing you know, you're like, well, hell, we got to go. Because, like, that's – I know they felt that, you know, in Green Bay. And so that's part of it as well. But I think we're all adjusting to it, but that would be our plan.
Garrett
Bodell, CBS Sports. Brian, I think Miles Sanders left the game briefly yesterday. What's an FT update on him?
A little ankle. I think most of the tests have come back good, so I think he's trending to be able to play.
And a month into the season, Jane Blue has yet to be active. Where is he at in your program, and what does he need to do to suit up on game day?
Very close. I'll say it again. I've said it a number of times, Garrett. I mean, he's practicing really, really well. I challenged him a few weeks ago on being consistent. He's done that. He's becoming one of our best offensive practice squad players. He gives the defense an incredible look with his speed and playmaking ability. So, very close.
Patrick.
Hey, Coach. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Just kind of feeding off of that. With Miles dealing with the ankle, even though he's trending towards playing against the Jets, obviously that you got to have an insurance policy against that. Jay Blue is one. But how does that color your conversations to come this evening on a guy like Phil Moffa?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we'll talk about. Again, the one thing that we have, and it was a little bit of a scramble yesterday when Miles went out because – you know, we had to do some moving of parts on special teams. I thought Nick Sorensen and his guys did a great job because we had to pull Hunter off of some of the teams. Hunter's a guy that plays four core, but when he becomes your, you know, your really your backup, you know, runner, we had to make some adjustments. So we'll have those conversations. But again, I think kudos to Nick and his staff. And I mean, that's what that's the unseen or unwritten thing that happens on game day when, you know, they come up and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, hey, so-and-so is this or so-and-so that. It's not like, oh, okay, cool, we'll figure that out later. Like, it's immediate, you know, and you're like, okay, tell Nick, tell Flus, whatever it is. And, you know, it's wild when you think about, you know, we have these guys dressed and you can't use them all.
Clarence.
Get back to Dak for a second. A lot of people think, yesterday may have been his best game. What do you think he's playing? You were certainly here in 2023 when he had the, I guess, his best season of his career. How would you compare where he is now to where he was then?
Yeah, I don't really look back very often. I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I really don't look back. I think, you know, the player that I see every day in practice practices the way he plays. And I think you know, we've preached a lot here, I believe here, you know, that practice is what separates us. And that's why I go back to the third down thing. Like, okay, well, just practicing it doesn't mean that you're going to improve it. Well, no, but it gives you a chance. And so I think the guy that you see performing on Sunday nights and Sunday afternoons is the same guy that we see on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Usually Wednesday's a little bit hit and miss because there's some new plays and new installs and we're trying things and he's trying throws and stuff like that. But man, I would say his practices really for the first 4 weeks, you know, have been outstanding. So you go into the game as a play caller with a ton of confidence because you're like, yep, saw that on Wednesday, saw it on Thursday, saw it on Friday.
You talked about earlier about the play design has a purpose. It seemed like last night he was on lockstep with you with the purpose because getting the ball out quick, taking the short things early, and that part of what you're talking about. Because he said he's been a veteran, been here 10 years. That's why he's played the best season.
I would agree that it helps, man. You know, I mean, there's not much he hasn't seen. There was a play early in the game. We're in a double chip edge protection deal. We're trying to push the ball deep down the field. You know, we're trying to neutralize the two edge pieces, which are great players. And they kind of all got out of there, and there was a little bit of leakage. I don't remember where, and he, boom, right to my – or it was Javonte. Right to Javonte. It was second and four for a five-yard gain. Bam, brand-new set of downs. Well, as a play caller, man, you're like, all right, here we go. Like, once you get the drive started, so much easier after that first earned first down as a play caller, you know, and as a quarterback as well. You get the first one, you're kind of like, okay, there's a rhythm that kind of gets started. So things like that, that you're just like, man, you know, he's executing and running the offense at a high, 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 high level.
Todd. You talked about the missed tackles earlier. There's always going to be missed tackles. Do you guys have, like, maybe zero is the number that is acceptable each week for you, but how many were there and, you know, how many would you look at were not acceptable?
Yeah, well, we had too many. I don't have the exact number in front of me. Those usually are getting tallied up once we get the grades and stuff in, and I just don't have those numbers in front of me. It was too many. Because what happens – If you've got a guy and you've kind of got him in the cup, and let's say it's at the 30-yard line, all right, and you should get him, and we say either knock him sideways or knock him back. That's our words. You knock him sideways or you knock him back. Well, if that guy that should be tackled at the 30 gets up to the 34, 35, 36, that's 5 or 6 hidden yards. Well, that over the course of 70 plays, those 4, 5, 6-yard hidden yards become 40, 60, 70. And we're too good of tacklers to let that happen. And so there's a technique to it. And I don't think it's anything new to the league, Todd, the way, you know, people, you know, are smart with practice and how they do it in training camp and stuff like that. usually tackling gets better as the course of the season, but we need to get better. And it starts with technique and using our hamstring tackles and using your leverage of the cup that we're trying to create.
How much did you go back, maybe the first time you looked at it this morning, and say, really, there's 1 second left? Like,
was there 1 second left?
Maybe it was a half a second.
No. Look, hey, that game didn't come down to that. You know, we had our chances as a football team. But if that ball gets kicked around just a little bit more, would have been interesting.
If it doesn't hit him, it's game over, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going there.
change the clock operator.
Yeah. Huh? We don't have the clock operator.
NFL hires.
Get him, Ted.
Pays that position. Yeah.
It's at home. Home field advantage.
How about we put you in charge of the clock?
Yeah.
I'm not pointing fingers, but it came from over there. Anything else? You guys good?
One more. Revel, is he taking a step back? Where is he at?
No, he's part of that discussion that we'll have over the next couple of days. No, I wouldn't think so. Again, you know, these things are all different. Everybody's timeline is different. You're talking about a young player, you know, a young player that's dealing with a lot, learning the defense, having to go through all the rehab, and he's doing good.
Yeah. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.